Again, want to greet you this morning in the precious and worthy name of Jesus. Sheldon just mentioned that we know that your spirit is here. There's a part of me that wants to rejoice in that, and there's a part of me that shakes when I think about God's Holy Spirit being here, in our presence, in our hearts. But I want us this morning to think that the Holy Spirit being here in our hearts brings us peace, it brings us comfort, it brings us a joy that the world doesn't understand. I challenge you this morning, are you filled with the Spirit? Something that we all need. I'd like for you this morning to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 10. I've titled my message this morning, If God Be For Us, Who Can Be Against Us? I had an idol that I sent to Marjorie to put in the bulletin, and that's not in here because at 6 o'clock last night my message changed. I have studied for about a week and a half now on the armor of God, looking at Ephesians 6. The last couple verses there about the armor of God, putting on the armor of God. And all of a sudden last night I realized, you know what? I'm never going to cover this in one message. It's not going to happen. So I changed my message to just an introduction this morning to the armor of God. And I don't know if this is going to be one message. Is it going to be a series of messages? I don't know where we're going to go yet. So I ask that you would pray for me and knowing where to go with this. But when I think about the armor of God, I have to wonder, am I wearing the armor of God? Are you wearing the armor of God? Is it important that we have the armor of God on? What is the armor of God? Those are some things that we want to explore. Mark 10. Verse 46. And I want us to picture ourselves here. We're going to talk about Bartimaeus for a bit here. Men, I'd like for you to picture yourself this morning as Bartimaeus in the time of the Bible. Follow along, Mark 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people... And a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I want you to put yourself in his place. He was sitting beside the path that either came into town or left. I'm not sure which it was because it shares a different opinion in two different Gospels. But he was close to the town of Jericho. Here he was sitting beside the road. He was begging. He could not see. His eyes had no vision. He was blind. Can you put yourself there? And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Let's stop there for a second. Bartimaeus was blind, so his hearing was sharp. He could hear if it was a mother with a child going out of town. He could hear if it was a lonely person by the way they were dragging their feet. He could hear if it was a soldier leaving town because they were stomping. Somehow he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. I don't know if Bartimaeus had opportunity before this or not to call out to Jesus. But I'm guessing he probably heard what had been happening. Jesus was healing the sick. He was healing the blind. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Can you imagine yourself beside the road? The others are telling you, be quiet. You're disturbing the peace. But that doesn't shut you up because you know Jesus is there. So you keep calling. Have mercy on me. I want you to take special note of verse 49. And Jesus stood still. I don't know about you, but that brings comfort to me. When I have an issue in my life and I call out to God, what does He do? Does He turn His back and walk away? It says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, He calleth thee. I can't imagine what that was for this blind man. Come, Jesus called you, come. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now would you take your Bibles and turn back a couple of pages to Mark chapter 5. We're going to read another story that's very similar to this. Only this time it's going to be a woman. Mark 5 verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. She was sick for 12 years. And had suffered many things of many doctors. And had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Now we have both of these at the same place. We have the blind man. He was begging because he had nothing to offer. He needed help. Now we have this lady. She's quiet, but inside she's begging. I've spent all. I have nothing. Absolutely nothing. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And again, look at verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You and I are just like this blind beggar. We're just like this woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. We come with absolutely nothing. We have no answers. It's only one thing that we've got when we come to Jesus. We're dragging behind us a whole wagon load of baggage. I don't care who you are here this morning. We have baggage. We just do. But do you see Jesus here when they came to Him and they called on Him? Did you see how He pointed at the baggage and said, look what you got. I can't do it. Jesus removed the baggage. I came to Jesus with a whole pile of baggage. And He took everything. I know there's some of you here this morning did the exact same thing. You came to Jesus with a whole pile of baggage and He cleaned it up. Does that mean that we never mess up after that? No, we still do. We still need forgiveness. But we come with nothing to offer Jesus but baggage. And on top of all that, Satan's trying to convince us, you're okay on your own. Jesus has nothing to offer you. You know life's been going real good. I'll take care of you. But when we come to Jesus, when we're at the end of ourselves, we realize that the Jesus of Nazareth is the only answer. Why am I telling you these two stories? I thought we're talking about the armor of God. Friends, I want us to realize this morning, and I mentioned this the other day, but I want us to realize this morning that there is a battle going on. If we could only see into the spiritual realm and see what's happening, there's a battle going on in your hearts this morning. There are things that you have from this week that would be better if you wouldn't have had. Some of you found victory this week because the battle that was being fought was won because you had armor on. Some of us don't have that armor on. Do we know what the armor is? That's where I want to go in the next couple Sundays when I preach. I want to talk about the armor. What really is the armor? It's so easy for us preachers to stand here and say, you guys need to wear the armor of God. What is the armor? We're going to go into that. I'm not going to dig into that this morning. But I want us to know that Jesus is offering to us this morning the cup of life, fresh water. And then He offers us the armor to wear so that we can fight against, or so that we can be victorious, I guess, in this battle. How beautiful were the words that He said to this guy. He said, be of good comfort, rise. What they said to Bartimaeus, be of good comfort, rise, He calleth thee. This is the message I want us to get this morning. Jesus is calling us. Yeah, we're in the middle of this battle, but there are two voices going on. Jesus is calling, come. Satan's saying, it's all right, stay where you're at. I want to challenge you this morning, don't stay where you're at. If you're not walking with Him, if you're not wearing the armor of God, please, come. We're being called by God. I love telling Old Testament stories. Sometimes I get them all mixed up, but I still love telling Old Testament stories. I want us to talk this morning a little bit about David. Why in the world would I want to talk about David this morning? He's the man who killed somebody. He's the man who committed adultery. He didn't have a real pretty picture. But in the end, he was a man after God's own heart. Let's look at him as a child. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 17. I'm sorry, not Isaiah. 1 Samuel 17. I would like to read the whole thing here, but I'm not going to because it is quite lengthy. But I want us to think a little bit, and we're just going to hop around in this chapter for a little bit. We're not really going to follow a certain pattern. But I want us to think a little bit about David as a young boy. I don't know what all happened in his life, but he was feeding the sheep. And while he was feeding the sheep, three of his brothers had gone off to fight. The Israelites were on one side on a hill. There was a valley between, then there was another hill on the other side. That's where the Philistines were. And there was fighting going on. One day David's father tells him, I want you to take this roasted grain, and I'm not sure what else, some cheese, I believe I want you to take it out to your brothers. I want you to give some to the captain, but check on the brothers, see how they're doing. So David leaves his sheep with somebody else and he goes. He goes out. When he gets there, the men are just leaving to go down into the valley to fight. So David gets in amongst them. He walks down into the valley, finds his brothers, and he's asking them questions. And as he's asking them questions, here comes this big guy from the hill on the Philistine side. And he said, who's going to fight me? He was defying the armies of Israel. And David stops. And he asked them, why are you guys not fighting him? He's defying your God. But there was a fear amongst the Israelite army. They didn't want to fight this Philistine because they were afraid they'd lose. We face battles in life, and possibly because we don't trust, or possibly because we don't have that armor on, we fear losing. And as David's asking these questions, his oldest brother says, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Why aren't you at home with your sheep? You're just here to see the battle. That's what you're after." I'm guessing probably if I was David about at that time, I'd have turned and I'd have gone home. There's a big man here that is trying to kill the Israelites. And my brothers aren't even with me on this one. But David keeps on asking questions, and finally Saul hears about it and says, "Hey, bring me this guy." He brings David in. And he said, "Who are you? What's happening? What do you want?" David said, "I'm going to go out there and take care of this guy." He says, "You can't take care of this guy." He said, "I've killed a bear, I've killed lions. They come after my sheep." He said, "If I can't get him," he says, "I actually grab him by the, I think it says by the jawbone, and then I club him to death." David knew who his God was. He had on armor. So Saul says, "Okay, you go ahead. But I want you to take my armor." What was Saul's armor? I want us to picture this morning putting on Saul's armor. Putting on what I think it takes. How many times have I lost the battle because I've put on my armor? I thought I could fight it on my own. How many times have I lost the battle because I put on my own armor? David put on Saul's armor. It says that his coat weighed 125 pounds. David was a young man. Can you imagine him going into battle with a coat that weighs 125 pounds? He had a spear that... I'm sorry, I said that wrong. That's Goliath's outfit. Let's back up a little bit. He put on the coat that Saul had, the armor that Saul had, and it was too big. He was a young man. And David said, "I never tried this out." He said, "I can't wear this." So he took it off. Then it talks about Goliath, what he was wearing. As David came out and he saw Goliath coming, it looked huge. Yeah, Goliath was wearing a coat that said he had a 125-pound coat on. His spearhead, I think, weighed 15 pounds. I wouldn't want to get hit with that. That was a lot of spearhead. He had on a lot of armor. And he was a big guy. He probably had a booming voice. Don't our problems sometimes look really, really big? This is where we need the spiritual armor, friends. We face so many battles today, spiritual battles, that we look at as, oh, they're just happenings. I want to challenge you this morning. Satan knows what he's doing. His time is short. Some of the battles that we face today look like everyday happenings, friends, but I believe they are spiritual battles. Let's face them as spiritual battles. Let's take the armor of God, which we will talk about later, to fight these battles. Let's go on with the story. David steps out. He grabs his sling. He grabs 5 smooth stones. And he steps out to meet Goliath. David didn't cower. He boldly headed towards Goliath. When we look at verse 45, it says, Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield." You have your earthly things. You have your things that you think are going to solve your problems. "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David went boldly. I don't see anything here where David is, I guess, freaking out like we would do. David says in verse 46, he said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." David says nothing about, "I'm going to do this." He says, "The Lord deliver thee. I will smite thee." Yeah, David says he's going to do the smiting. but it's still God. And take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And we know the rest of the story. David took his sling and he took it in circles and he let the stone fly and it hit the Goliath right in the head. And he dropped. Then David goes, steps over the top of him, takes out Goliath's sword and cuts Goliath's head off. Who is the victor? God was the victor. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6. Children, if you've got your papers, this is where this is going to come in, where you need to hopefully fill out your paperwork. Papers that I have, the copier did not do very well. So you're going to notice there's barely any lines on there. So you might want to fill out or draw some lines like, they're not up here either. As we go through this, there's going to be spots coming up that you can fill in the different pieces of the armor. I'm going to read through this, and as we read through it, we'll come to the armor, and I'll give you time to write in. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong because the battle is real. How do we become strong? A relationship with God. Knowing that our God is going to help us through our battles. Actually, He's going to fight them for us. We wear the armor. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. A power that we need to tap into. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Interesting, as I was looking at this, I was looking at the armor. And I was thinking, what if we wore just part of the armor? Would that work? He says two times here, I believe, put on the whole armor of God. There is no part that we leave out. He talks about the wiles of the devil. The trickery of the devil. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I want to ask you some questions this morning. We are in a battle. What kind of battle are we in? Our battles can differ. But there are spiritual battles that are going on. Let me ask you this morning, in the battle that you're in, are you losing? And if so, why are you losing this battle? Let me ask those of you that are victorious in your battle, what was the key? Think about these. What was the key for you to be victorious? Now let me ask you another question. If you've been victorious in the battle that you're fighting today, and you see another person around you having a battle, what are you doing about it? We need to know that we have each other's back. I need to know you have mine, and you need to know that I have your back, that we're praying for each other. Let's go to verse 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, why? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So we have the belt of truth. We call the area around our midsection, which he calls the loins, that is the belt of truth. Children, got that? You can write that in there. Just a little thought about the belt of truth. Imagine if I decided I'm going to fight this battle, I'm going to put on every piece of armor except the belt of truth. Truth. If I do without truth, if I don't wear this belt around my waist, I have no place to hang my sword. When the men went into battle, they would take their belt, they would grab their skirts and they would pull them up and wrap them into their belt so they could run. If you wouldn't have on your belt, there's no movement. You're going to trip over your skirt. Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. What's inside our chest area? We have our heart. We have our lungs. There's continually arrows flying at us. And if the shield misses those arrows and it hits our chest, we'd rather not that it goes inside, would we? We have the breastplate of righteousness, and we'll talk about these later. We have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. I know some of you that love to go barefoot. I hate going barefoot. I may do it in my house, but I don't really care to be barefoot. It's not cool for me. Some of you love being barefoot. Would you have been a soldier back in the Roman army? You would not have wanted to go barefoot. Why? Because it's rough. It's rocky. And there's times that the enemy would throw things at the city walls for you when you stepped outside that would hurt your feet. If your feet aren't shod, aren't fixed with a good pair of boots, you have no footing if it's hurting your feet. You're a pushover. The gospel of peace. Then the shield of faith. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. What's inside that helmet? Your brain, your mind. Satan loves to put things in our mind that affect our whole being. The helmet of salvation. Then verse 18. I'm sorry, there's another one in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All of these look like they're pretty, you know, defensive, don't they? With the exception here of the sword of the Spirit. We don't put on the sword of the Spirit for it just to hang there to be pretty. It's got a reason. How much am I taking in the Word of God? And then there's one more. Prayer. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So the question this morning is not whether there is a battle, whether there is a war raging or not. But the question is, am I going to be victorious? Am I going to be willing to wear the armor of God? And I feel bad this morning closing in this way without really explaining what the armor of God is, but I hope I gave you a little bit of an appetite to know what really is the armor of God. And I ask for your prayers as I study this, as we look into it. The battle is real. It's a battle for life or for death. It's not just a battle that we face every day for the fun of it. It's a real battle. Sometimes I have the idea that God is so big, the earth is so tiny when you see it, the vastness of the universe, how can God see little me on this earth? But He knows every single one of us. He sees every single one of us. And He doesn't miss a single person. You were created with a purpose. And the purpose is to bring Him honor and glory. I'd like to close with a verse in John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's our God. He has overcome the world, and He wants us to be a part of that. May God bless you this morning. Would you stand as we pray? Thank you. Father God, we bless you. Thank you, Father, that you have overcome. And Lord, that you're asking us to be a part of that. Lord, we confess the many times, Father, where we've tried to fight our battles on our own. We've chosen not to put on that armor. Lord, I pray that you would speak into each one of our hearts here this morning. Father, that we could see the importance of the whole armor of God and what all it entails. Would you give us wisdom, Father, as we look into this? Father, as we search our own hearts, may we give you the honor and glory. Would you dismiss us now with your blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.